This is Tom Rowe with radio news from Waveform's WGXC in New York. News about radio waves, transmission art, wireless surveillance, and other broadcast issues from wavefarm.org. You are tuned into a radio show about radio waves. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, beaming in from the Catskill Mountains in New York. Now for the latest in radio news, broadcast regulation, transmission art, open airwaves, and other radio art. This is Tom Rowe with a special report. You can go to newsroom.wgxc.org. See text of the report and links to all the information at newsroom.wgxc.org. The Hudson Valley Radio Dial may offer more choices soon as the Federal Communications Commission has approved new low-power FM stations in Palenville, Albany, Woodstock, Pauling, and other towns. Low-power FM is a 100 watts or less broadcast license authorized for non-commercial educational broadcasting that can cover a city or town. It was first created in 2001 after a decade of challenges on the air in courts and in Congress. WBCR-LP in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, emerged from that first LPFM opportunity, and a second application window for nonprofit groups to apply for frequencies intended for community use opened last fall. Now these applicants must raise money, organize volunteers, and build studios to get on the air. This winter, the FCC granted a construction permit to WLPP-LP, 102.9 FM in Palenville, where the Matrium of Sabell Magna Mater Incorporated, a pagan-oriented nonprofit, now has until January 27, 2017 to get on the air. The group claims their new signal will cover Catskill, Saugerties, and into Columbia County, and is advertising locally for folks to help them. Here's an interview Harry Matthews from WGXC did with the Reverend Mother Catherine Plantain of the Matrium of Sabell from March 19th.
And there are people who have been actively trying to get other nonprofits involved in getting a radio license. Well, they approached us. I thought it was a great idea. We applied for our construction permit and were granted it. Our call signs will be WLPP, LP, low power, and 102.9. But
low power Palenville.
Low power Palenville.
Here we go.
In Athens, local listeners may or may not hear a new station from the jazz-oriented group Planet Arts. The New York City and Catskill-based nonprofit mistakenly filed two LPFM applications for Athens for the November 2013 FCC deadline. One, to use the public's 96.7 FM frequency, was dismissed by the FCC, and another, at 93.9 FM, is labeled, quote, applied for, unquote, while similar applications without competition have been approved. There's an interview with Thomas Bellino from Planet Arts at the WGXC newsroom. In Albany, the Grand Street Community Arts Incorporated nonprofit, which has run a community center for several years, located at 68 Grand Street near the Capitol, will broadcast at 107.1 FM. Online, they are calling themselves WSERLP, South End Radio, although they have not officially registered those call letters with the FCC. Musa, a representative from the group, spoke to WGXC on air March 22nd.
We actually have been blessed to be granted a low-power FM license from the FCC for a community radio station here at Grand Street. And so we are out here tonight, and we are looking for any volunteers that want to come out and maybe be a part of the opening parts or the putting together of this station.
In Troy, five groups have applied for LPFM stations: the Sanctuary for Independent Media, the Troy Bike Rescue, the Green Education and Legal Fund, the Oakwood Community Center, and TAP Incorporated, a group of architects. All have applications pending for 92.7 FM. Steve Pierce from the Sanctuary for Independent Media, in a February 1st, 2014 interview with WGXC, said the five groups are friendly and will work out a timeshare or other arrangements to get on the air.
We applied for an LPFM station, and there were several other groups in Troy who also applied, organizations that we work with every day. And so we're in a what's called an MX situation. It's mutually exclusive. Not everybody who applied could get the station, but if they work together, they can either timeshare on the frequency or possibly move to other channels. You know, it's a little bit of a Rubik's Cube thing that has to happen now to figure out how best to free the frequency so that either it can be shared or people can find a way to do what they want to do. But we're pretty confident that within the next few months that we're going to be free and clear to launch a low-power FM station that will cover most of Troy and most of Albany.
The FCC encourages groups competing for the same frequencies to work out timesharing arrangements. In Woodstock, WIOFLP 104.1 FM has a construction permit from the FCC. In the 2007 full power application window, the group Birds of a Feather applied to cover a much larger area, but had several competitors, none of which ever got on the air. Now the group has until February 14, 2017 to begin using this frequency. In Dutchess County, Pauling Public Radio will occupy 103.7 FM in Pauling. That group is already up and running with a lively website, and it will hold a board meeting at 6:30 p.m. April 17th at 26th East Main Street in Pauling. The application submitted by a community group in Amenia for 103.7 FM, though, was dismissed by the FCC, and in Poughkeepsie, New York Catholic Radio's application for 94.7 FM is unopposed but has not yet been approved. Upper Room Ministries of Richmondville applied in Stamford in Delaware County and will operate WJIJLP at 105.9 FM. In all, New York had 65 applications for low-power stations, most in non-competitive situations. Nonprofit groups were able to apply for low-power FM stations on available frequencies from October 17th to November 15th last year. Go to newsroom.wgxc.org for interviews with the Reverend Mother Catherine Plantain from the Matrim of Cybele in Palinville and WLPPLP, and also interviews with Thomas Bellino from Planet Arts in Athens and Steve Pierce and Brenda Miller from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy about Low Power FM.
My name's Harry Matthews. This is 90.7 FM, Hudson, Catskill, Acre. and very pleased to have in the studio two of the women from our local Maitreyam of Sybil, Sybil in Palinville. I can't seem to pronounce that word properly, but there it is, the Maitreyam of Sybil. And that is the Magna Mater.
Magna Mater.
Magna Mater, I'm sorry, which means the House of the Mother in Palinville, New York, right at the base of the Catskills, and located in a beautiful old inn next to the Circle W. And I'm happy to welcome Catherine Platine and Lauren Willette Bruchet. And you're soon going to have a radio station, I hear.
And we are soon going to have a radio
station. That's wonderful. Tell me a little about the radio station.
Okay, this is kind of exciting. We were encouraged to apply for the a low-powered FM station license by some people who feel that there should be a wider ownership of these things, and it's a lot of these things get snapped up by fundamentalists frequently. And there are people who have been actively trying to get other nonprofits involved in getting a radio license. Well, they approached us. I thought it was a great idea. We applied for our construction permit, and we're granted it. Our call signs will be WLPP, LP, low power, and 102.9. But
low power Palinville.
Low power Palinville.
Here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
We love Palinville.
Yeah, low power to the people.
Yeah.
And because of the unique geography, a low powered station normally wouldn't reach out more than 3.5 miles from its antenna. But because of the unique geography and being in the arms of the mountain and above the elevation, we will cover all of Catskill and most of northern Saugerties, and the engineer tells me we'll get across the river to part of Hudson as well.
Wow. That's wonderful. If anybody doesn't know where the Reverend Mother is talking about, she is speaking about Palinville, which is at the bottom of the Catterskill Clove on the eastern escarpment of the Catskill Mountains. Beautiful place. And so because of that geography, It will sort of act like
a funnel.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we won't get up to Tannersville or even Haines Falls, unfortunately. I mean, suppose if you catch us just at the line of sight, but that clove twists and turns quite a bit. So,
do you know what the numbers will be? Or is that not
which number?
Well, this is 90.7.
Oh, 102.9.
102.9. And when do you expect that might be up and running?
We need to raise the money for we can probably put together a studio. I have a lot of friends, and I used to be an audiophile, and so I got some junk laying around too. But the expensive part is the transmitting equipment. And we estimate that we need about probably $6,000 or $7,000 to put together what we need, and we have an Indiegogo campaign trying to raise funds. It's going into its last days, and so if anybody wants to make a contribution,
how would people find that on Indiegogo?
You would look up
Maitreyam.
Yeah, the Maitreyam Sybil.
Maitreyam. I'm sorry, yes. I keep mispronouncing this.
And that's a Latin spelling, so I'll spell it out: Maitreum. Because we confuse people with our Latin. and the word literally means the home of the Great Mother.
Right.
Which is reinforced with the Sybil, the name, and then Magna Mater, which means the Supreme Mother.
We are here with Brenda Miller and Steve Pierce from the Sanctuary for Independent Media, who are going to talk radio and...
We applied for an LPFM station, and there were several other groups in Troy who also applied, organizations that we work with every day. And so we're in what's called an MX situation. It's mutually exclusive. Not everybody who applied could get the station, but if they work together, they can either timeshare on the frequency or possibly move to other channels. You know, it's a little bit of a Rubik's Cube thing that has to happen now to figure out how best to free the frequency so that either it can be shared or people can find a way to do what they want to do. But we're pretty confident that within the next few months that we're going to be free and clear to launch a low-power FM station that will cover most of Troy and most of Albany. working with our collaborating organizations in the Capital Region. So that's super exciting. It's really the culmination of a lot of work, not so much by us, but by all of our friends in the media justice community, and particularly the Prometheus Radio Project that actually had to change federal law to make it possible for new low-power FM stations to rise up in urban areas. And so with their help and with the inspiration of WGXC and Wavefarm, where we've seen so much great stuff happening over the airwaves, we're super excited to be part of that, even on the low-power tip.
Yeah, just to get everyone up to speed real quick, there used to be no way to apply for a small radio station. It was a little catch-22 in the whole system if you were wanted to just cover a small town or a city and have a small transmitter working. The FCC said you couldn't do it, and the big transmitters didn't want you doing it because they said you were going to interfere with them, even though you were a 100-watt or a 75-watt transmitter, and they were a 3,000 or 300,000-watt station. But somehow the little stations were going to interfere with the big stations, so there was no way to apply for this station before in the past, a low-power station for Troy. But there was all kinds of civil disobedience in the late 80s and throughout the 90s, and Prometheus was a group that started as a pirate station called Radio Liberty in Philadelphia. Is that right, Radio Liberty? Or
I think so. I don't remember.
Name wrong, yeah.
One of the highlights of my life was going to the first annual East Coast Micro Broadcasting Convention, and it was the only one. And it was
In the church. I was there too.
Were you?
With the FCC guys spoke.
Yes, and the beautiful thing about that is
they
invited the head of enforcement for the FCC to come to speak to a group of pirate radio broadcasters, and they broadcast his remarks live on a pirate station. I thought that was really great. So yeah, I mean, actually, you know, if you go back even a little further in the 1970s, I think it was, there were a lot of low power stations. Colleges and schools.
The Class D stations.
Yeah, and they were all sort of shoehorned either into higher power stations or taken off the air in order to make way for the high power NPR stations. And so in the effort to create this national network of public radio, the true community nature of broadcasting was eliminated. And so what we're really seeing is, you know, 40 years later, a return to the airwaves of the real grassroots low-power stations that aren't hobbled by high budgets, which require them to have large audiences and programming that's going to attract big audiences. Instead, stations that are close to the ground and able to serve the communities immediately surrounding them. So it really is an exciting time. And I remember the time in the 80s very well because of that sort of civil liberty spirit that was in the air. And the incredible people, really, who were part of this movement. And it was made possible, I think, as I recall, by a principled stand in San Francisco by Stephen Dunifer, who was running Radio Free Berkeley and who refused to go off the air because he was ordered to by the FCC. And his lawyers came up with a great legal defense, which was that it was unfair that the FCC requires a broadcasting license to have a radio station, but that there are no licenses available to broadcast. And so he tangled up the legal system for a number of years, which created the window for the pirate or micro-broadcasting movement that we knew back in the 80s.
Yeah, there was an 18-month period when he was basically allowed to stay on the air, and that emboldened a lot of other people to also do that.
Yeah, there was no enforcement, so everybody piled on, and it was just an incredible time. There were Black Panther stations, and, you know, you name it. Everybody had a station because it only took a few $100 to put it on the air. And there was no risk of fines or imprisonment or anything like that. And once the court case was settled or thrown out of court, that's when you saw some amazingly draconian response on the part of the FCC and local law enforcement. There were even SWAT teams who came in and took radio stations off the air as though they represented some major threat to public safety. And so, you know, it's an amazing story of a free speech, an electronic free speech movement that there have been several books written about. And
a successful protest movement, yes.
Totally. I mean, the culmination of that movement was the creation of a legal low-power broadcasting service that hundreds, if not thousands, of stations are a part of across the country. So, I mean, we're really just seeing the tip of the iceberg. As you see, wherever you happen to be listening, if you find a low-power FM station popping up in your community, it's the culmination of decades of activism and really dedicated work on the part of tens of thousands of people around the country for the past several decades. So that's my soapbox. It's pretty amazing, and it's a little hard to believe it's going to happen. We have to keep our expenses very low to do this because the population that we're covering is very poor, and the number of people that you reach with low power FM is fairly small, and so you can't really you can't spread your expenses too far in that environment. And so we just bought our broadcasting console, a top of the line a mixer that was in 1987 the one that you would want if you but couldn't afford because it was really out of the range of anyone except the corporate broadcast chain. So, you know, 30, 40 years later, here we are. We're going to get one if we can figure out a way to get to Davenport, Iowa to pick it up.
Here. There's Barbara Spring, Musa Zawana, and me, Lex Bagat.
All right. And where are you at?
We are at the Grand Street Community Arts Center here at 68 Grand Street, downtown Albany.
And are you asking folks to come out this evening?
No, not this evening.
That's our first meeting.
Sorry, actually, we are having our first meeting for volunteers. We actually have been blessed to be granted a low-power FM license from the FCC for a community radio station here at Grand Street. And so we are out here tonight and we are looking for any volunteers that want to come out and maybe be a part of the opening parts or the putting together of this station.
And can you tell us what's the station going to be like or do you even know yet?
Well, the whole basis of our station is to be a voice for the community. We're looking to be a community station that allows basically everybody to come out and have a voice. You know, so our programming is going to be similar to, say, like the college stations, where 1 hour you might hear something from the LGBT community, and then the next hour might be something from the Burmese community, and the next hour might be a jazz show. So we're inviting everybody in the community. If you feel like you've got something that you want to share with the community, whether it's talk or it's music or, you know, anything that can be formatted for radio, to come on out and, you know, be a part of this community thing we're doing.
And you guys run the Grand Street Community Arts Center. Can you tell us what that is and give us some history and background to that?
Well, so WSCR is located. Barbara, maybe you want to join us for this question. No, Barbara's a little busy with something. WSCR is located in Grand Street Community Arts, which is an art center that's in historic St. Anthony's Church in downtown Albany. Right now, the church is actually in the middle of it's kind of a crazy year because we're in the middle of restoring the building and really reevaluating our programming. We have youth. Our cornerstone program is a youth education program called YouthFX. Which teaches teenagers to produce video documentaries. We also have had a long history of other youth programming, but all of that is a little bit on hold this year as we just fix the roof of the building, deal with some plumbing and other issues in the basement to make a presentation venue in the basement, and like getting the heat set up in the building so that it can actually be year round. And doing a lot of things for the building to make it possible for us to be a home for this radio station, since the radio station will be the first real 12-month program in this building.
You're going to need to build a studio, or do you already have something?
I don't know. Can you see us? We're not on video Skype, but maybe if somebody from Wave Farm wants to come visit, you'll see our beautiful choir loft. And there's the architects from TAP, from the Troy Architectural Program, have helped us make some plans for enclosing the choir loft with a kind of an accordion door so that we can have a recording studio that's in there, but still also open the accordion doors to see the big stained glass window and let the light come in when the radio studio doesn't need to be acoustically isolated from the rest of the church. And that's the plan.
Give folks a sense of where the community center is.
We are at the corner of Grand Street and Madison. So we are right down the hill from the New York State Museum and right up the hill from the downtown McDonald's.
If that makes sense. Near the Madison Ave exit on 787.
And how far from the Capitol is it?
It's a couple blocks. We're very close to the cathedral and the governor's mansion. That's at basically, if you were thinking of Empire Plaza, the south end of Empire Plaza is the State Museum that Musa had mentioned, and the north end of Empire Plaza is the Capitol. So the Capitol's about half a mile from here.
Maybe, yeah.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.